Okay, so this morning we have basically continuing on with yesterday. We're going to, part one, we go to about 10:30. We're going to do some phrasing, so have a pencil. We'll do some exercises. And then we're going to do word study in the last section this morning before lunch. And this song is important for that because, remember in James chapter 1, he says, count it all joy, right? When you fall into different trials, right? And we're going to look at the word we're going to look at in our second session is hupomone, which is often translated persevere or endurance or what are some of the patience. So it's one of those words we've been talking about that has a big semantic range, and we're going to do a word study to try to dial in our understanding of that. Ken? Oh, sorry, page 17 right now. But this psalm is connected to that. This is the day, right? It's not saying today my car broke down and I'm out of money, right? Or today is a day of a wedding celebration, right? How can we learn to rejoice in God's sovereignty, right? No matter what the world might think of our situation, right? Or whatever emotionally difficult things we're going through, can we learn to rejoice and be glad in that the big picture? This is the day that the Lord has made. And if you will indulge me before after our break, I'll share another song along the same theme. Okay, so this morning, phrasing, this is the fancy title, A Method for Seeing Structure and a Flow of a Passage. I think Tim came up with the subtitle there. It's nice and rich. The opening page here, page 17, and then the top of page 18, is an excerpt from a book that we use in one of our Greek classes. It says here, A Graded Reader of Biblical Greek by William Mounts. Dr. Mounts has created a lot of great Koine Greek study aids that we use in at Tor Resource in our Greek classes. And this is he did not invent this. I don't know where he learned it, but it's called phrasing. And you don't have to know the original language to be able to benefit from phrasing to get some traction with a passage using this. And so what I'll do is I'm just going to read through this excerpt, and it continues on to the top of page 18 until it says end of excerpt. And what we're going to do this morning is practice a couple different verses, and you can team up, if you like, with another person or two or three, and pick one of the verses that we have and actually experiment with this yourself. This is not the same as grammatical diagramming, right? This is very subjective. Different people are going to have different ways of visually organizing a passage to according to meaning. But there's some general rules. So first I'd like to start off, well, let's pray first, but then we'll read through Mounts' excerpt. Abba, Father, we are so thankful, just as we just sang, Zehayom, that this is the day that you have made. Teach our hearts to rejoice and to be glad in your sovereignty, to rejoice that we are your people, and that no matter what's going on, even in the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil. Kieta imadi, because you are with me. You are with us. And so thank you for the camp. Thank you for this opportunity for us to gather together and to just enjoy fellowship and to talk about things that are dear to your heart, that our values would more and more match your values. And we just thank you for all your blessings. In Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, so this is from Dr. Mounts, A Graded Reader of Biblical Greek. He says, phrasing is a hermeneutical technique. Hermeneutical just means a way of assessing the meaning of a passage. A hermeneutical technique that is designed to help you see the structure of an author's writing, the relationship between phrases and clauses, and the basic flow of thought through a passage. It separates the main ideas from the secondary and highlights parallel thoughts. It forces you to identify the relationships between thoughts. And dot, dot, dot means I'm skipping some of Mounts's text here. Phrasing is not grammatical diagramming. Because we're trying to discover the meaning of the passage, and because of the phrase is often the smallest unit that can be analyzed for meaning in a specific context, It is not helpful for our purposes to break the verses down into even smaller units, except in specific circumstances, such as a list. Phrasing makes use of grammatical relationships, but they are usually at the phrase level, not the word level. So we're looking not, we'll look at words specifically in the second session this morning. Right now we're just going to look at phrases, and if you have a dry erase board, this could be nice, or if you can use a word processor and you can, you know, move things around, or just sketch it out with a pencil. As we'll see. Phrasing's basic approach is to separate a passage into its phrasing, so phrases, main clause, relative clauses, prepositional phrases, etc. And if any of these terms, if it's been a while since you've had grammar, we can review that. It looks somewhat like an outline. It only has three basic principles. One, the more dominant phrases are further to the left of the page. Two, subordinate ideas are indented, placed under or over the concept to which they are related. And three, parallel ideas are indented the same distance from the left. So when we have a parallel ideas, we'll have those kind of stacked vertically, as you'll see. So here's, like, we might look up Romans 3:22. But the righteousness of God is through faith in Yeshua Messiah for all who are believing. This is not really ESV or NASB. This is kind of a Rob translation here. But this is going to be close to what you'll see in your scripture for Romans 3:22. So we would see that, something like this. And then here would be a way, like if I was going to do a Mounts-style phrasing of this verse, it would I could arrange it like this. So I have, can you see my map? Is it? Yeah, there we go. So, but the righteousness of God. So we determine, so that what's furthest to the left is going to be the dominant phrase. So if we pause and we maybe recite the verse a few times and kind of ponder it, chew on it, and we think, okay, what's the subject of the sentence is the righteousness of God. It is the main subject. So the righteousness of God is... Right, and then we have through faith in Yeshua Messiah for all who are believing. And so this particular approach is to say, okay, the righteousness of God is, and then under righteousness, because righteousness then is the main subject of the sentence, of God is, of course, just qualifying what righteousness we're talking about. But I have two equal indentations of prepositions. So remember, prepositions are on, around, above, beside, etc., through. So we have through, the righteousness of God is through faith, and we also have the parallel idea, the righteousness of God is for all who believe. So do you see how both, everything that comes after through and everything that comes after for all are anchored to righteousness? So that's the thought with phrasing, is that these... through and for all are then indented to the same space, and it's nice to have it under righteousness because that's the subject of these prepositions. And then we have through faith, faith in, so now I put this clause underneath faith, faith in Yeshua Messiah. Now this, you know, Tim yesterday talked about what we call an objective versus a subjective genitive. So this is one of those examples of where Yeshua is in the genitive, and we have to decide, is this the faith of Yeshua, or is it faith in Yeshua? So if it's, in other words, is it Yeshua's faithfulness, right? If I say faith of Yeshua, I could say that's Yeshua's faith, which is Yeshua's faithfulness. So I think the NET Bible takes this to say through Yeshua's faithfulness. For this. So you could say through faithfulness of Yeshua. So anyway, so this is just one of those examples of what Tim talked about yesterday, where sometimes we have faith in Yeshua or faith of Yeshua. Both are good translations. So, but that technical point aside, it's still reasonable to put the in Yeshua Messiah then under the word faith. And the reason I have bolded both faith and believing is because they're both root from the root pisteo. So they both are from the same stem, lexical stem. And so there's, even though in English, faith and believing don't come from, they don't sound alike at all. They're not from the same etymological source. But in Greek they are, so I have those in bold. So using bold then, or an italic, or kind of changing your style of writing is another way that you can kind of highlight things that you're seeing in the passage. So can everybody see how we went, here's our basic verse, and we say, okay, we're going to phrase it, and I've come up with this. Actually, this I'm using Mounce's style here. This is actually from his book. I think his translation of his book might be a little different than this. Does anybody have any questions on that basic? Now, here's one. Let me read here. So phrasing has a minimum number of rules because it is a personal exercise. That's why this is not a right or wrong thing. It's specifically designed to get you to use your imagination and to think visually and order thoughts, because it challenges the person doing the exercise to evaluate the different parts of a verse, right? And to put them in some sort of order. And of course, you can erase it and rewrite it, etc. What helps one student see the structure of a passage may not help another. What is important is that you adopt the basic approach and then modify it to suit your own tastes and needs. And he says, be consistent. So let's look at another one. So top of page 18 here, here's a bigger passage. So Colossians 1:16, it might look something like this. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So that's just, right, that's a pretty meaty verse. And here's a way that I took how Mounce does it. Now, Mounce does it in Greek. But you don't have to do this in the original languages. You can really get some good, some really helpful devotional concentration on a passage just by having a good translation you're working with. So notice what I've done here. So here's our regular. I've kind of modified it even from what Mounce has. You can see the style that's up on the screen here is a little different than what's in the booklet. I thought, I put the four is kind of all by itself. I liked the repetition of the all things created. So I put those at the same indent. All things were created, and then all things have been created. So see how those are both at the same indent. And then I have by him, through him, and for him, at all in their own indent. So do you see how this visually helps you kind of see things that maybe you're getting at some level while you read and ponder a verse of Scripture, but this is just a way to bring it to a full visual expression. And then notice, so now all things created in him, so under things, or you could, you know, all things, I have in heaven and on earth. I thought, you know, there's parallels, like in heaven and on earth. So I have those on separate lines, but I have them both in bold because heaven and earth is like a word pair, right? Even from Genesis 1:1, heaven and earth. You could have done the same thing with visible and invisible, maybe. But I liked having those on the same line, but I underlined visible, invisible, because those are kind of a pair. And then we have the list. Now, in Greek, the word for weather and the word for or are this, it's the same word. So I could have put or thrones, or, you know, weather. In English, we put weather first, and then we put or on each subsequent element to the list. But here, so in Greek, it looks much nicer because it's like or thrones, or dominions, or rulers, or authorities. And then I have that list, each of those nouns in italics, just to set those apart. And then we have back to the all things have been created, paralleling kind of a bookend, right? It's the other bookend from what we saw at the beginning of the passage, through him and for him. And so I look, you know, look at a passage like this, and it takes a few minutes. You just kind of sketch this out, and all of a sudden I notice, wow, you know, we do have a sand. It's like, and Tim will get into what we call chiasm, which is where you have what they call like an inclusio, like you have something that is stated and then something else, and then a third thing, and then, so it's like C, B, A, B, C, right? And you have these parallels, like an Oreo cookie, you know, with a bit of multiple layered, where the top half is a a direct mirror of the bottom half. And that's what we have here. We get a by him up first, and then we finish with a through him and a for him. I think that's pretty cool. And then right inside the by him or the through him for him, we have all things created, right? And then inside that, we have the heaven and earth, visible, invisible, and then the four items here in the list. So this is a real helpful example of phrasing. You'd see, like, if you were going to read, and there were in those days shepherds keeping watch over their flock by night, and, you know, lo, the angel of the Lord appeared, right, Luke chapter 2 or whatever. That would not, you know, just in a narrative part of Scripture, there's not really much structure to be, if you did a phrasing, it wouldn't, I mean, you could do it, but it probably, in narrative, it just, things are laid out so nicely, linearly, that they don't really require this extra visual element to dive in. But on a real chunky theological concept, this can be really helpful for you sorting your ideas about a passage. So does anybody have any questions so far about phrasing? Robbie?
So is it best to, because I could immediately memorize it this way.
Oh, cool. You could, so you're probably a visual learner. In other words, that's really great. I think, well, for you, the fact that you know that about how you learn is wonderful. Other people might be more aural learners, you know, they want to hear it. But I'm visual too, and so this is, I think you and I probably have that strength where we're more visual and we would learn it. Yeah, because you could write this out and then you could just,
right.
Infinity, you know, you go and write it. Because, so I think that is, I think a lot of us are visual. We have a highly visual culture. You know, if we're all looking at pictures all the time, media stuff, and this might be a way to kind of leverage some of that visual emphasis and bring it into our kind of arrangement or how we would layer a scripture. And of course, it's subjective, so how, you know, one person would do it would be another, but would be different than another. But absolutely, very helpful for memorization. And for me, the highlighting. Parallels, bold, underline, italics. You know, you could do different, grab a different color ink pen, you know, and, you know, you make it as colorful as you want. And like with what Gary's going to be doing with the dry erase boards, when you have multiple, you know, you've got, you know, how many different colors available that you can draw from, and that's all the more going to go get into our memory. I really believe that's a really good point on that. Does anybody else have any thoughts or comments? Ben? Well, what good question. You're anticipating our exercise here. So if you look there at the top, well, before we do that, any other questions, then we'll come back to Ben's. Ken?
I guess it kind of goes along with what he's saying here, but, you know, when you take a look, for example, Hebrews 1, you know, by the time you get through the end of the sentence, it's about 7 or 8 verses.
It's big.
And he has all these little sermonettes in between before he finishes his sentence.
Right.
Yeah,
so you want to be patient, you know, don't bite off a whole bunch, just see what you can do. And if you, you know, let's say you get a verse and you think, I'd like to do a phrasing of Hebrews 1 verses, you know, 1 through 2 or 1 through 3. And if it starts getting frustrating, I would say, you know, just let it go and throw the sheet of paper away and move on, you know, and then just, so it's obviously not, again, just underscoring the subjectivity about this. This is to be a help for you, not a, I got to get this, you know, as a chore, in other words. So, but see, you know, give it a shot. It might help you, you know, there might be a scripture that you've thought about a lot, and it's another way to just kind of help your brain sort through a visual representation of it. And again, we're not getting into pickiness about what translation you're using. I would say use, you know, that... using like an NASB or maybe even ESV or even a King James, Ken. I know, you know, I grew up with the King James. And just grab a verse and you can do this, you know, and get a lot of mileage out of it, I think. Anybody else?
Yeah, I was just thinking,
Okay, back to Ben's question then. How big of a chunk do you want to do? What I'd like to do, we have three here. There's James 1, 2 through 5, Philippians 4, 4 through 7, 2 Peter 1, 5 through 8. But so those are three. I don't know if we probably won't get time to do all of them. But I thought it would be fun to do Romans 5, 1 through 5 together. So we would kind of just do it as a group. And what I can do, I have to change my screen up here. And we'll just do it visually, and I'll do the indentations and things. Oops, I need to find, did I have my other file? Let me grab it here. Oops. I need the Malel file. Let's see, here it is. Okay. I wonder if I go full screen, if it will let me edit it. Let's see. Let's view, there we go. No, it won't let me. Oh, wait. Why did that? I don't want that. Okay. Is that, you can kind of read it, right?
Yeah.
So the what I did here, and we can just do this together, and go ahead and just, you know, we can blurt out ideas. What I did just to set us up is I have, these are each of the verses. So the reason the spaces between these lines, this is verse 1, this is verse 2, this is verse 3, 4, and 5. And of course, the sentences, kind of kin, maybe like your point, Paul's sentences here go beyond where the verses have been labeled. So this might end up, as we arrange things, it might push down and be a two-page thing, and that's okay. So, well, let's do this together. So I'll read the whole thing first here. Romans 5, 1 through 5. This is, I want to say I took this from the NASB. I forgot to make note of it. I think it's the NASB. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Beautiful passage, but again, very rich and layered. And so let's see here. Therefore, having been, let's look at verse 1 now. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just, let's get that going here. When we start with like a therefore, of course, that means everything he's argued up to this point is setting up the foundation for him then to say therefore. So since therefore is one of those kind of transition words, I usually think of it as having its own place, right?
You mentioned the dry erase board. Do you want anyone want a little bit?
If anybody wants a dry erase board, ask Mr. Springer here. Thanks, Gary. And you just, are there erasers in there?
There's an eraser on the end.
Oh. You could just use your hand or your neighbor's, you know, jacket, just wipe, you know. No.
The end of the pen has a little eraser on
it. Oh, it's two-sided. There you go. Very cool. We've got more. Oh, good. Oh, thanks, Robbie. Okay, let's do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm just going to break this into, okay, so remember we're identifying the main, let's go back to our page 17 here. We want to identify what's the dominant phrase, and then what are the subordinate ideas, and then what are the parallel ideas. So, Robbie, talk me through what you're thinking here. You said justified by faith, right, or having been justified. Here's a good point, Kelly. Now, this is, I'm glad you said that. And this is why it's best to do this in the original languages, because it's having been justified, it's one word, dikaiothentes in Greek. So because it's one word, and this is where you've got to just be nice to yourself, you know, if you haven't done the Greek yet, that's okay. This is all subjective. But Kelly, let's do it that way because it is, in fact, one word. And you could, if you looked at an interlinear, just to check while you're doing this, you would see, oh, you'd see one Greek word and it'll say having been justified under one thing. So having been justified, now, back to Robbie, your point, would you put by faith definitely is a separate, you could do this. And then, and that's not, if I just said having been justified by faith, that's an independent clause, that's not a complete sentence, is it? Having been justified by faith. So what's the subject of the sentence? And what's the verb, Ken?
Looking forward a little bit, it's a broken two-section sentence because in the first second half of the first sentence it says we have, but if you look down further into the third verse, it says but we also.
Right.
So two different sections to this sentence.
Exactly. So here's one thing we could have done. We could go through before breaking it down. I could say, well, we have, in other words, Ken, what you're saying, we have a compound sentence here. So we have peace. That's the main, as a matter of fact, I can redo this really quickly here. So you got to have patience with yourself. Our first, let's go through and bold or underline all our main sentences. The main sentence is we have peace. That's verse 1. We have obtained. We exult. These are the main sentences. Everything else, grace in which we stand, that's what we call a subordinate clause. That's just giving us gravy over the we have obtained. It's we have, I guess. Peace is the is the object, but I can just say. So the main sentence, because we have is technically a complete sentence, right? I have a subject and a verb. We have obtained, we exult, we also exult, but in Greek, the also is not in between there. So it's we exult twice. Knowing that, this is a participle phrase, so that's tribulation brings. That's going to be the list. Good. Hope does not disappoint. And then love of God has been poured out. I think that's it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So there are 7 complete sentences that can stand on their own, right? Each of these could stand on their own. And in addition to these main sentences where we have a subject and a verb, we have subordinate clauses. So this is maybe an initial step because it's going to be, it's going to give us some weight or it's going to influence how we decide to indent things. So does anybody have any questions just on this, on identifying the main sentences in the passage? We have obtained, we exult, we also exult, tribulation brings, hope does not disappoint, and the love of God has been poured out. Who was given to us? Why is that not a complete sentence? Now, if it was a question, who was given to us, that would be a complete idea. But this is just what we call a relative clause. It's just explaining, it's giving us detail here. So let's now go back to where we were. So therefore, and I'm going to go back and have my dashes here. Having been justified, because it's like, okay, I looked it up and I see that's just really one word in Greek. And like, we'll go back to where we were. We have, I'm going to have an extra space in here just because I like, having been justified by faith. Now, do I want to bring we have all the way back here? Why not? Yeah. We have, and I can move the object, which is peace, to its own. What do you think? Do you like it on the same line? Do you want it down? under have, maybe. I could space it over. And then we have peace, and there's two things, with God, through. So, right? And you could even, with our through our Lord, and then you could do that, you know. This is all, again, remember, this is all subjective. Another way to do it is, since we have, let me see, having been justified by faith, you could start this whole thing, let me get rid of that. You could have the same kind of indentation, but have the we have section inside. I don't know. This is just kind of sketching out ideas. Let's continue on. You don't have to get bogged down and think, do I like it? Do I not? This is just, let it kind of, you're just kind of, you're this is a, you're doing a mikvah here in the Word of God, right? You're just like washing through. This is water. You're just kind of seeing how the water's swirling around here. Now, but you know what? I think I better move it back, because notice the next bit here. Through whom? Through whom? Where am I going to put the through whom? Yeah, exactly. So maybe I need that to be through whom needs to be under. Oops, I left the T over there by itself. Let me. There we go. I wanted to get it one level up. There we go. Through whom. Here, I'm going to, since we already know this is Romans 5, I'm just going to do this. Okay. Through whom. Through whom also. We have obtained, you know, here, in a way, we could look at this. I have never diagrammed this before, so I'm doing this right along with you guys. I just realized we could have a list of these things, right? Through whom also we have obtained, maybe? Or is we have... Oh, good. Okay, thanks, Alana. I like that. All the way to the left? Okay, let's... would we... Anything subordinate here? We have obtained our introduction is...
That would be like peace, right?
Okay. Oh, right, because it's the... It's underneath the verb. Yeah, what it is we have... Oops. How did I get that? I must have done a couple spaces. So, trying to make it the same. There we go. Introduction... By faith into, so these, do you think these should be, yeah, because it's our introduction is by faith and our introduction is into this grace, in which we stand. Cool. So now we're starting to see that. Okay, now, so Alana, you're thinking we should pull and we exalt all the way back here? Yeah. Okay, so that's actually the end of a proper sentence there. So let's look at that. So therefore, having been justified by faith, we have, and we have obtained, and we exalt. Right? Because these three things are all true based on this setup phrase, right? In that we have been justified by faith, this list of things are true, right? We have, what do we have? We have shalom. That's present tense. By the way, that's what's so cool when you get into the original language. You're like, wow, that's like, he's saying that we have this. We have this now. And then he's telling us why we have it. This is why Paul's writings are so important for, Yeshua knew what he was doing. Remember Yeshua promised he would build his ecclesia and the gates of hell would not overcome it? So part of Yeshua building his ecclesia is equipping his people with the writings of people who know what they're talking about, one of which being Paul. Right, and that's why Paul's letters, as difficult as they can be to interpret, and as diverse translations and interpretations they've had in history, it's very rewarding and worth it to dive in and wrestle with the different translations. And Tim Haig has a wonderful 2-volume commentary on Romans 2 and Galatians, etc. So. and this phrasing is just another tool for diving in and chewing on this. So having been justified by faith, we have obtained, we exult. Anything that you might modify here? How about if we were to go through and use bold or italics, anything? Oh, you did those in bold. Oh, gotcha. Did you include, Robbie, did you include obtained? Or did you just do, I think the... Okay. I think in Greek, I think this is one, these are all like, we have, it's like one word. And so that's another...
You said that's because it's in the Greek?
Yeah. So in any event, but this is still, the we have is really... Right? That's something. What do we have? What do I have in Yeshua? Right? Well, here's a passage that tells us what we have. So this is bold. This is, you be confident in this. And it helps, it is informing us how to properly think of and, you know, properly value and understand what is this business of being a disciple of Yeshua? You know, what is it that I have now that I didn't have before? That's, we need to grow in understanding what that value is. We have shalom. Oh, here's another thing. So we have shalom. So you could do, we have peace, right? Or if you say, hey, you know what? I want to put shalom there just because I like that Hebrew word, right? We have our introduction, which is, you could do it. Then you could say, well, what is it? Oh, and we exult in hope. So you could take the objects of, you know, the objects that are associated with these verbs.
Should be in
the line flow. Oh, right. If we're going to do it the same way, if we're going to be consistent. Oops, I left the I up there. Let me see if I can move some things. I'm going to get rid of the therefore, just because we're going to, I'm trying to fit this all on one screen here. We know it's there, of course.
Would it be incorrect for us to change it for our own personal Yeshua Messiah?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, you could say, you could, however you want to do this, right?
I want to put into grace up by our introduction. Because our introduction, just to it by itself, seems...
Oh, I like that.
Unclear.
I like that. So let me try to follow what you're saying. So I'm going to leave that there for now. Into this grace. What I love about this is that this is worthy of like some sort, maybe italic, this grace. In other words, I want to know, what is this grace, right? And then in which we stand. That means I'm standing. It's a positional. This is where I am. If you're in him, this is where you are. And so we want to have a good map of where we are. Paul's given us here a map of this is, if this is true, if you are a new creation in Yeshua, then this is true for you.
It's like you are here.
Yeah, you are here. Exactly. It's like you're at a, you see the map and there's an arrow that says, you are here. That's what Paul is saying. In which you are standing, right? So we could just have all this all on one, maybe. Let's just see what that looks like. And then we'd have maybe by faith.
Right.
You can use these, you know, and just remember, okay, you're just using it, you know, introduction. Why is he putting by faith here?
Would it be a grace?
Introduction by faith into this grace. Well, the word order is...
Would it be by faith?
Mm-hmm. You could do by faith and then put a space here. I don't know. I'm just, you know... But the important is, it's, I think why I like the idea of having the into right after introduction, because that's the proper order of the idea. Where it's an introduction into, or an entrance.
By faith should be under his grace.
Oh, I, okay, yeah, yeah, you can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then scoop into that whole.
Oh, let me do that. Okay, I'll redo this here. Let me see here. Just like that? Yeah, or you could do the little swirly guys like that, like, you know. I don't know what you call these. What do you call the little tildes? Yeah, you know, and put a little italics or something. Okay, so just like, you know, really cool way to break down and see, wow, you know, I want to be confident in what I know to be true and the truth. And here we have a good way to think about it. Like outline. Oh, yeah. So again, absolutely, like Ken's saying, that this is subjective. Make it have meaning for you. You don't have to worry about what somebody else is thinking about how you're doing this, the phrasing. That's the point, is this is like you chewing on it. This is, you know, meditating on the word, right? When we're doing this, we're chewing on it, we're rearranging it, we're tasting it. How does that taste? How does that... is there anything else I might want to modify here as I ponder it and kind of try it on, right? Here you might do something like this and you go, wow, introduction into this grace. What is it? I'm really intrigued by that. So then you could say, okay, I'm going to do a word study now on introduction, right? So now I'll go, I'm going to do a word study on that word. And right off the before even popping out a dictionary, you could just pull up a couple translations. Well, how did the King James... What word do they have for this word? What does ESV have? What does NASB have? Does anybody have that open, Romans 5 open in the Bible?
Yeah, I've got
ESV. I'd be curious. So what, peace is going to be peace, right? You're going to have, the first one, Irene, they're not going to have anything other than peace. Or if you have a Jewish, you might say shalom. But introduction, does anybody have like entrance or... anything other than introduction into this or by faith? Obtain. Oh, access. Okay. Cool. So what? This is one of those examples. You get that word, and you're like, I want a little more nuance than introduction. So then you look at another trend. You say access. We have obtained access into this grace in which we stand. So these are. Positional, like it's right, it's spatial to have access into a space that you stand, right? It's like there's a room or a structure, you have a way in and you stand in it, and your access, the way you got in there, and the room, what is the room you're in? What's the structure you're in? Grace. You are in a space, imagine, you know, it's like you could even do a little cartoon, you know, there's a room called Grace, or a building called Grace, you're standing in it, and the doorway in, how did you get in? Did you do a bunch of stuff and then show the list and they let you in? No, it's by faith. Yeah, it's by faith that you have access into this space and that you stand in. And you're not sitting, you're standing, right? This is a wonderful... wait, so you could pause there and do a little brief word study, and then you might modify. You say, you know what, I like, you know, everything else here might be NASB, but I like access. So you could go here and you can just, you know, change it. You know, this is, you can do whatever you want here, because this is reflects your, what you're visually creating here is a reflection of your meditation, then the layers of your pondering and chewing and reflecting on this passage over multiple translations. And so make it reflect that, right? And so here, we've done, this is verse 1 and 2. Was this verse 1 and 2? Or no, that was verse 1, right? No, that was verse 1 and 2. We got verse 1 and 2 on one page there. Oh, so we're moving on. Oh, right here. Oh, right. Okay. What do you think?
That's, to me, center of everything. But I don't know how to, maybe bring it down one.
Okay.
Just scoot it over to the middle.
Center,
yeah, right. There you go. Or bold
I wonder if I can make it a... How do I make it really big in my...
Because...
There we go. And then we can go and, you know, put a capital here. Gary, my Malell skills are not... you guys would be waiting till the cows come home for me to figure out how to do all that stuff. Right.
Now, see, I would do that a little different because where it says through our Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, and then through whom, it's referring to the same person. So I'm
sure,
going to
sure.
Back to it right underneath where it says through.
I just wanted to highlight that somehow and bring it down.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Yeah. Again, so we're getting, and this is, there's, again, no right or wrong way. It's the discernments you make and the things you're, you know, it's like you're evaluating this and you're just kind of fine-tuning the instrument here.
I find this very, very useful because in teaching Bible classes, you know, especially in Paul's writings, you take each one of these phrases and make a lesson out of it.
Right. And one of the things I think about here is like, okay, I have shalom. I have shalom. I stand in grace. And it's through Yeshua and by faith that I have access into this where I stand and what I have, right? And now it goes on. We're going to see the two we exalts, right? So we have, this is another way. Now, how would you parallel this? Because if I go we exalt, not only this, but... I'm going to say, but also, I'm going to remove the also here. So we have the, we exalt twice, and I'm going to put the and. We exalt. So we have that twice, because it's very clear in Greek, it's the same word, and to me, it's like a list. We exalt, da-da-da-da, we exalt, da-da-da-da. And so what are they? Well, in is it's... We exult in. We could put the preposition even up here with this. Oops, underline and bold. We exult in. I'm just going to cut and paste that. Make it easy for me. And then take the in off here. And so hope and our tribulations are on par with each other. Thanks, Gary. And you could do, you know.
This began to look like something that Einstein would have put on the blackboard.
On the big chalkboard, and then they roll up the one, and then just... Yeah, it gets... So notice here, so we exult in, and then I have a cap, all caps. We exult in, all caps. So hope... you could put hope of the glory of God, I guess you could say. I wanted the hope and ours to be in the same line here. I'm using combination of tabs and spaces. But so not only this, not only, so you're standing in grace, you have shalom, you know why you're even, you know that your standing in grace is not based on your merit. It's not based on you having like done the obstacle, American Ninja Warrior obstacle course, and now you've earned your way there. No, it's Yeshua. He's the one that brought you in. He made all the arrangements necessary for you, in spite of your sin, right, to still be in this grace. Now that you're standing in this room, he says, we exult. What are some of you who have Romans 5 open? Do you have boast? Does anybody have we boast? We rejoice. So you could even do like a little amplified Bible thing here, right? We exalt, because it's in Greek, it's the same exact word, and hopefully your translations are consistent in that they give you the same word both times. Even if, you know what I mean? Your translation should have the same exact word twice. We exult, rejoice, boast in. We exult, rejoice, boast in. Hope. Well, that one's easy. Oh, who doesn't want to, you know, that? Hope of the glory of God. But then he says, but not only this, but also our tribulations. Wow, okay, that's tough. What do you mean? What do you mean I'm going to rejoice in my tribulations? I can get the good stuff. You know, it's
glory.
Oh, that's another. That's a good one. Yeah, these are all again worthy of when you see something like this. You know what? I want to do a word study. You know, I want to pull up the Blue Letter Bible or whatever, and I'm going to go to that word, and I want to find all the places it occurs in Paul. You just start with Romans, for example. And we'll do this in the second session on one of these words. I'll just do Romans first, because we're in Romans. How does Paul use this word in Romans? And then you'll say, I want to look in other Paul letters. How does Paul use this word generally? Then I'll go once, if that's still manageable and it's not too big of a list, say, well, what if I expand to all the apostolic writings? How's it used? And that might be, you might have 20 or 30. So that gets to be like, okay, there's a project there. And then you could say, you know, was it used in the Greek translation of the Torah at all, right? And then you can expand your horizon. So each of those circles, you're expanding your range of texts, of how Greek-speaking Jews in the Second Temple period were using kind of that semantic range, and you start kind of building your own sense. And in a way, you're kind of like an archaeologist, right? You're going and you found this little artifact, and you're kind of holding it up to the light, and you're seeing what layer it came from in the dig. And then you go, oh, there's one over here, and you're doing all the dig work in between, and that is you being so engaged that you're going to just remember this all the more, you know, and you'll be able to speak really intelligently about it to someone else. Intelligent meaning it's because it's true for you. It'll be natural for you to talk about it, and that's one of the fruits, I think, of course, meditating on His Word, but using a tool like this just as another way. So. Will we go to what? 10?
15. So you can break an hour. Break.
Okay, you know what? Let's go. We'll go about 7 more minutes here. I'll go right to 10:15. Let's see if maybe we won't finish Romans 5 here, but what if let's see if we can at least get through this list. What would we do here? Because now it goes knowing. Okay, so. Okay, so knowing we want to be here.
Right. Because
knowing that. Knowing that, here's something I might do here. Proven character, hope, right? I'm trying to think of how, because there's a list here, right? But is it concentric circle? Is it like tribulation?
It should be like staring.
Should it be staring up this way? Yeah, so it's like, how could you do, again, like with the dry erase board, you could get into like making shapes and things like that. You know, with my, you know, word processor here, I'm just kind of stuck with these basic moves. But you have a development, right? The idea is, how am I going to get perseverance? Well, Paul says it's through you learning to rejoice not only in hope, but in the difficult stuff. There's something called perseverance. That's the word we're going to do our study on. And then perseverance, there's a fruit that, right? There's a branch that grows off an advancement, a development from perseverance is this proven character. And this, again, proven character, this is, you'd look it up, this is a one-word Greek. Proven character brings about. And see, each of these, we get an echo of brings about. So I could do, right, brings about. Proven character brings about hope. And then hope does not disappoint. So now he's developed the idea. Hope comes from the proven character. Proven character comes through the perseverance. Perseverance comes rejoicing in the tribulations. And that hope that you get to is not disappointing, right? Because this isn't easy, right? You've just climbed Mount Everest, right? And it's not, once you get up there and you see, you're not going to be disappointed. You're not going to go, oh, why did I come all this way? You're going to go, you're going to forget about the struggle because you're going, wow, now I see from this perspective that maybe someone could tell me about, but I never saw with my own eyes. And now I'm up here and I can see. And I have the wisdom. I can see where I was and I can see the valley and I can see the hill and I can see, you know, that part where I thought I was going to die, right? I can see where that is now, and now I'm up here. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. So this is just beautifully rich, important stuff for us. But how might you graphically represent that development of rejoicing? And it's we rejoice in hope and in our tribulations. And so hope is here, but hope is also here. See? So we already have hope. It's not that we're without hope before we have tribulation, but the hope that we see here does not disappoint, meaning it tells us that the hope we had before we went up the mountain was right. It was true. Because there's times on the way up the mountain where you're questioning, is this, am I even on the right path? Boy. Was I sold a bag of goods, yeah, or a bill of, oceanfront property in Arizona, you know, and you're up here, and then once you get through these things, and you see the hope is true, it's sure, it did not disappoint, it's as advertised, right? It's as advertised, and wonderful. Okay, so here's another thing. According to this, if I just had this passage, it would seem that for me to have genuine perseverance, whatever, and we'll figure out what that means, I got to go through some sort of trials. So here's another word you could do, you know, our tribulations, you could look this up, trials, you know, et cetera. You could do a word study on that. What's
sufferings, is what the net has.
Oh, sufferings, there you go. So these are the things that are like, this is, you know, you've got your car dashboard. This is getting difficult. This isn't comfortable meter. It's getting bigger and bigger, right? Whoa, did I take the wrong turn, right?
Like when you have to wait 4 minutes at Starbucks drive.
Yeah, yeah. What am I doing? I could have gotten to the Starbucks across the street. So this is good stuff. So any last thoughts on this? Is just an overview of phrasing. I guess we never got to do any. I really didn't think. I guess I thought this would go by way quicker than it went. But I'm glad. I'm really happy for all the discussion and feedback because I think it just shows that people are seeing their own ways to kind of use this. Any last thoughts or observations, or Ken? So I would say it's the same, but it's not the same. It's the same and not the same in the same way that the acorn is the same as the tree, the fully developed tree, but they're different, right? In other words, I sow this, you know, pumpkin seed, and I got pumpkins. It's not disappointing. If I sowed a seed, I was told it was pumpkin, and I get, you know, thorns. That's going to be a disappointment. I sowed what I thought I was going to get, and I didn't get what I thought I bought. What I see here is that the hope of the glory of God is true for the person before they've even had the trial, but it hasn't matured. It hasn't had the opportunity to grow and persevere and be fruitful. But once it has that opportunity for the tree to grow and have fruit, it's like, oh, it is apples. You know, it was an apple seed, and all I had was this little apple seed. But sure enough, now I have all these apples, and each apple has a whole bunch of more seeds in it, and they can do that again and again. And I see that as that's the encouragement. That's the not disappointment, right? It's the fruit is according to what the promise is, and it grows. And as we grow and mature, we just become more and more. I love that, like the song we sing for Shabbat, Psalm 92, you know, planted in the house of Adonai, right? Fruitful. This idea, what does it mean? I mean, you could just take that image of the tree planted in the house of Adonai that is fruitful, Or that Psalm 1 tree planted by the streams that is fruitful, or Jeremiah 17, as another way of what Paul's describing here. He's not talking about trees, but you could see this tribulation, perseverance, proven character, hope. Hope is that fruit that is the, right? The image of the tree is here if you want to see it. And I think it fits because it's they're both the theological idea, or the theological idea here maps right clearly onto the idea of a fruitful tree that we see.